Now there's got movies I gotta watch.
Yeah.
The entire trilogy of Candyman.
Oh, yeah.
I only thought there was only one.
And you didn't know there was more?
I know there's more.
Stupid, ridiculous. And then they go into that further into the third one about Candyman's past.
And how he came.
Yeah, and how he came to be Candyman.
Man, grab that boy, cover him in honey.
Yeah, you're right.
Why?
Why?
Spread it all over his chiseled chest.
I always wondered that. As a kid, I was like, why not just like hang him or something? Like,
why can't you just be normal racist? All right, we are coming in 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I'm your host, Anthony King, and of course with me tonight is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards.
I blanked.
You blanked, dude.
I was one job.
I was between Happy Friday, but then I was like, shit, they're not going to hear this until like Tuesday. So then it was
still
like,
thinking about some Candyman dumping your nuts and some honey like we were talking about beforehand. You're still stuck on that?
A little bit. Okay, for anybody who has context.
No, we got to save that.
Okay, we got to save that. I'll save that one. That's a good one. Look for the promo on that one. That one's a really fucking good one. Honestly, the digital footprint of that one is risky alone.
Said a lot of stupid shit.
Yeah.
Well, yes, we are back for another night of film news. So let's just get this started and hop right into it.
Yeah.
So first, what we have up here, Quincy Jones, giant U.S. musician. Orchestras, bunch of music, bunch of concerts. He's just a huge name, a big name in the music industry. Man. Passed away at 91.
Man, who produced We Are the World.
Yep.
But most people who watch movies will know him as the guy who created the Austin Powers theme song.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's right.
Yeah, that's him.
That's him. I mean, the first time I really kind of recognized him was from the Boondocks.
Yeah, of course. We got one clip we got to dedicate it to.
I'm sorry, guys.
I can't believe it.
Hey, don't be looking at me.
Don't look at Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones ain't gonna help you. Get your asses out now.
I always love that part.
It's just so fucking great.
But yeah, did he say what he passed away from?
No, there's no as right now.
Well, so there's nothing, no like update, no nothing, death. No cause of death?
No cause of death. I mean, he was 91, so could be natural causes at this point.
It's most likely going to be natural causes, yeah.
It was earlier in the week, so, I mean, by the time you guys hear this, it'll be like last week.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, 91, that's pretty old age. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if he just passed.
But he's not the only one, of course, who's passed away.
No.
We also got my man, Tony Todd.
We got the news literally about an hour and a half ago.
Like, what the fuck?
So if you guys don't know who that is, that is the man who played Candyman. Yes, the classic Candyman. And also that weird mortician from Final Destination.
Who's usually in all the movies.
He's basically supposed to be death, right? He was like representing death, yeah.
Yeah, the original version, he's supposed to be death until they changed it. Like, no, he's just kind of a mortician that knows the rules.
But yeah.
They'd be like, how does he know the rules then?
But yes, they both passed away.
Yeah.
And him also, they have not disclosed how he passed away as well.
Not disclosed, but I was looking through his filmography.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of fitting ending is that his final film to be released is Final Destination, Bloodlines.
Really? That's the last one?
He come back as his role in Final Destination.
Okay.
And be his final film release.
Because I think his last voice work was he was Venom in the Marvel Spider-Man 2 video game.
I think there's another video game he's about to be out in as well.
Okay.
Continue.
He was Spider-Man 2 Venom, but he's in the new Indiana Jones game.
Okay, so
that one's about to come out. But as for film-wise, Final Destination, he plays as William Bloodworth.
Well, you know we gotta watch that one.
There's a pretty cool, do you guys remember about his compensation for like, how often, because at one point he was covered in bees, you know, and like he would get compensated for a certain amount of money for every time he got stung.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Or do you guys know about that? Okay. For those who don't know, I thought it was a really cool little thing, you know. Back in 92, he had a payment, pretty much like a payment plan to receive $1,000 every time he received a bee sting.
You know, yeah. I'll be pissing off those bees.
Right? Just fucking.
Come on. Do it. Sting me.
But he got stung 27 times, so he cashed in $27,000 additionally.
Nice. Damn. Yeah, that works, man. Like I said, I'll be pissing off those bees.
Right. Now, is that just from that one film or all the films?
I think it's just from the one film so far. I don't know if it's multiple. I'm sure there's probably somebody out there that knows. If you guys know if he's been stung multiple times and had that same type of payout for following Candyman films, leave a comment down below.
But yes, Candyman Tony Todd passed away at 69, yes. Which it just really sucks to lose both of those.
Yeah.
All right, well, moving into our next film news topic, what we have here, Star Wars Trilogy has made a deal. Yes, Lucasfilm has got Simon Kinberg to write and produce their next Star Wars Trilogy. If you guys don't know Simon Kinberg, he's usually more popular with, of course, the X-Men franchise. He wrote and produced a lot of those films, but he's been a big name in Hollywood for like at least the last almost 20 years now.
Yeah, he's been
he's produced a lot of big productions. Some I would say good, some I won't say so good, but he is a big name in the industry.
Yeah, he's kind of hit and miss.
And it's going to be interesting this time that it seems like they're going to keep with the same writer for all three films and not mix it up with a different writer and different director. Well, still might be different director every time, but it seems like it's going to keep the same writer for all three films. So there should be on paper, some consistency.
I still don't like that rule of a different director.
No, I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that too. I don't.
Well, they say it's going to be consistent for all three, but we know if the first one doesn't do well,
yeah, they're going to switch panic and yeah, they'll switch things up.
They'll switch things up.
J.J. Abrams said it was consistent for all three the last time when he directed the first one, The Force Awakens, and was like, here's the blueprint. Here we got it. And Ryan Johnson said, nah, I don't like you.
I think they're going to keep a really big, heavy cap on rogue directors. You see what I'm saying? This time around? They should learn their lesson.
They should. And do they? That's the question. Do they? No, they don't.
Not all the time.
Shit. Well, but, this better be the time.
I mean, they're continuing the Star Wars saga with the Skywalker.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're still saying it's part of the Skywalker saga. Like, I thought that finished, dude.
No, we thought they finished, but we know the whole thing. People bitch about it if you change it, and people will bitch about it if you don't change it. So, just don't change it.
Like, God damn it. Like, what? Like, it's just going to reintroduce Rey Skywalker? Skywalker Palpatine?
Yep.
No, now they can introduce some other kid that was somehow in the background of the fifth film.
What about that one random kid in The Last Jedi who used the Force for the broomstick? Remember that?
Oh, there you go.
I was like, oh, wow.
His story now.
Wow, look at that. He's Force sensitive. Do we ever get to see him again? Nope.
Turns out that's Luke's bastard child. There we go.
Damn.
Luke, it's all connected still.
Luke giving it. Oh, that's crazy. I mean, canonically, like, book-wise, he does have children.
I don't know, like, do you guys...
And a wife.
Do you guys think they still should go with the trilogy output for films for Star Wars? Or should it just branch out to just random standalone titles? Should they keep the trilogy formula?
Unfortunately, with Star Wars, I believe this trilogy.
Still?
Still a trilogy. Just because of what its legacy is. Mm-hmm. If you got the, you know, what's called 4, 5, and 6 mm-hmm. out, then you can go back to 1, 2, and 3.
But how long can he keep this going? What number do you think they should stop at? This is becoming like Final Fantasy levels.
Star Wars Reloaded.
Until the mouse gives up. That's all we could do, man.
What if like the very, 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 very end of it, because the whole entire thing is supposed to be retold mm-hmm. by R2-D2.
Yeah.
What if it just catches up to present time? And that's the story of where I came from.
No. And that's how I met your mother.
Oh, fuck off. Fuck off. God, I'd be so pissed.
Or we might hit the point where we just go, fuck it, let's just reboot it.
Yeah.
Like, just, like full circle.
Do you think Star Wars will be the first franchise in history to hit like 20? Episode 20. Do you think they'll take it that fucking far?
Yeah, they will. Yeah, they absolutely will.
Probably.
No, they will, because we're going to have, eventually we will have a cool off period, mm-hmm. which means we won't get any of the Skywalker stories, mm-hmm. which means it will end the episodes. Then we'll have like 10 years later come back, like, you know what? We should continue the story again.
Just ridiculous, man.
But This is my theory. They're going to go, but they're going to skip like three numbers forward so they're able to go backwards again.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see some bullshit like that.
What if like the next numbers that they're give, like they say 10 through 12 right now, but what if it's really like 21 through 24? 23. Sorry. Had to count that for a second. Had to do quick math.
No, but dude, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. Like, I've made my opinions with like Simon Kinberg. His films have things he's wrote and have always been like hit or miss for me. So this does not get me excited.
I mean, he's got some...
He has good stuff. He does have good stuff.
Yeah. Like, for example, he had Sherlock Holmes. That one was pretty good, you know. Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
He also had Jumper, which I feel like is a movie that is so underappreciated. I felt like that one deserved at least like two more movies. I really liked Jumper. That was pretty cool.
On paper, it's really good. I think they poorly executed the film.
I think like with another movie, it probably could have strengthened it a little bit more. You know, give a little bit more background.
Maybe.
You know, moving on though, there's a lot of stuff. About it. You know, I mean, X-Men Last Stand.
Yeah. So you know, he's had a lot of stuff. So he's been in the industry for a long time.
And he's wrote 74 episodes of Star Wars Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, from 2014 to 18. So, I mean, he's familiar with the material. So he's not just somebody that they picked up. And so, I mean, it's could work.
Like I said, he has experience writing. It can work for franchises and stuff like that. He has the experience. He has everything they need on paper.
Yeah.
It's just whether he can deliver it or not.
And it's whether a director will stick to it.
And it's whether Disney will stick to it.
And it's weather. But other than that, we got great hopes for him. You know?
All right, let's move over to our last topic before we head our first break. What we have here is Lionsgate CEO is just talking so much shit on Borderlands. Adrian, you found this one. What's going on with this?
I'm not surprised.
I mean, dude, what is not going on with this? Okay, this was considered one of the worst films released because it had $120 million budget.
$1 million.
Yep. Sorry, I'm going through puberty. So.
He had $120 million.
At 34.
Yeah.
Hey, second puberty. Yeah.
But they generated only, what was it? 30, I believe it was
like $32.9 million.
Holy shit.
Worldwide.
I don't know why I thought you said like $132 million.
No.
Oh, my God.
33 million worldwide.
Basically, yeah.
Ooh.
That is severely under budget, and that's 120 from the actual budget of the film, not including, you know, what's it called? The
marketing.
Oh my God. So they ate up. They basically
spend close to like almost $3 million on this film.
$300.
So $300 million on this film just to get 33 back.
Good Lord.
Which means a lot of investors did not get any money back at all. A lot of people were probably fired. But also this follows other budgets such as Megalopolis and The Crow. And also Never Let Go.
That's right. The Crow was also Lionsgate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Damn.
9.2
million.
Back to back.
Never Let Go was 10 million. Megalopolis was 7.5. 6 million.
That's right, Megalopolis.
Maybe at the end of this year in December, we should do like figures for every studio how much money they lost, because there was a lot of flops. There was a lot of fucking flops this year.
And also,
I like that.
But then as well, you have Lionsgate releasing Ballerina, the John Wick series, Good Fortune, Michael, and they're talking about doing rebooting American Psycho.
Why?
Yeah. They want to do a modernized American Psycho.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I recently rewatched the film.
Jared Leto.
Hell yeah, bring him back.
Jared Leto.
Fuck you.
No, but here's my gripe about it. I recently rewatched the American Psycho movie, and I could tell you right now, there's no way in hell you could do that modern. It fits so perfect to the 80s.
Yeah, that's the whole point. It's supposed to represent its time.
That represented the 80s perfectly, and it was perfect for that.
We're not like on that cutthroat businessman mindset anymore. No. Like, that was the point of back then. When you're a businessman on that level, you're a fucking sociopath. Like, that was the whole point.
Yeah. So, no, absolutely.
Like, it doesn't fit anymore in the times.
But going back to the Borderlands, they're kind of putting, he's kind of pointing fingers at everything went wrong through this entire thing, which included the pandemic, the reshoots, the high interest rates that took for, this is high interest rates that took outside the safety zone for our unusual strict financial models, which means they just had to redo things over and over again. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I'm pretty sure it wasn't cheap to have Jack Black, Kate Blanchett, Kevin Hart, you know, yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, some old cast, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure it wasn't cheap to have them paid out as well. But it pretty much everything that possibly could have gone wrong went wrong with this film.
I'm sorry, but like if you have to have constant reshoots, you had bad planning.
Yes.
In the first place. You had bad scheduling, bad planning, bad budgeting, whatever it was, you planned bad.
Then on top of that, whoever did the marketing for it, to me, did a really horrible job at it because they tried to capture that Suicide Squad kind of feel to it.
Yeah, which what was it?
They had that what's it called, that splatter paint.
Yeah, and everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it actually was Suicide Squad and Guardians of the Galaxy style. Mm. That's what they tried to copy.
They tried to bank off of those two formulas as well as, oh, hey, video game adaptation movies are coming popular again. Let's try our hand at a popular game at Borderlands where it's like, oh, wow, we can adapt the Guardians of the Galaxy to it. / comic book style franchise that we can probably base this off of and just throw in as much shit as possible.
It's like what studios always do. When they find something popular, they all rush into it not realizing, okay, what did this person do to make it popular in the first place?
And they probably thought because of like how outlandish the game is as well, how it's like, oh, we can't go wrong. Even if there's like something of an error, we can just say that's part of the movie. Not knowing like, yeah, this movie just fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you got a... I mean, even you could obviously tell that these people never even played the game to begin with.
Yeah.
Because it's heavily miscast. You've got... For instance, I'd never played the game itself, but I've seen enough clips where, like, Kevin Hart should not be in it.
Yeah.
That is not his character. That is not his style. It should have been someone much bigger and much more... what's called? More assertive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a goofy character.
Yeah. Roland is like a leader of the resistance.
Yeah.
Of this rebellion. Yeah. So,
and unfortunately, much like Kate Blanchett, I do like her, but
still again, didn't fit. Yeah.
Didn't fit. It should have been someone much younger.
Yeah.
Yes. Same thing with, what the hell is the name of her character? She's the scientist.
Jamie Lee Curtis' character.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis'
character. Same thing as well.
Just like, didn't fit. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
didn't fit properly.
I think the only person was dude with the mask.
Yeah. He really, the only purpose of his entire creation is just him shouting shit.
Yeah, that's it.
Random stuff. Because he's a psycho. And psychos just shout random shit.
Yeah, but man, the movie did not do good whatsoever. And this is really going to hurt Lionsgate for this year.
Yes.
That along with The Crow. And then what was the other one?
What was her hand? It was
Never Let Go.
Never Let Go. What was that one?
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. See?
That's what is that?
Yeah,
go ahead and Google that really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Before we start, I want to know. We got to know what we're talking about.
Oh, is that the one with
Oh, it's the one with Holly Bear.
Yes,
it's like supposed to be like their version of trying to do their own Bird Box.
Yeah,
Kinda that's like that. Basically like that.
What, man? Get out of here.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna take a quick break from our sponsors, and when we get back, we're gonna cover our main topic. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back to you guys. And we are back covering over our main topic tonight. This is actually a pretty big one. We have a Mass Effect TV series in the works at Amazon with the writer of Fast and Furious 9. So this is going to be another big hit for them. This is coming right off the bat from Fallout, their show, yes, which was a major success.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now they're going into another big franchise, and I don't know. Hopefully the track record from what it shows is going to be another banger. But can they actually do like an actual space sci-fi like this? So like I said, Amazon right now, they're going hardcore into the gaming TV show film.
And it looks like they're going with, if it's going to be anything like Fallout, or at least the same respect to its franchise.
Yes.
I don't know. I've never played any of the Mass Effect games.
Well, if they seem to be telling between anything between Fallout and Last of Us is they were very accurate to the game source material.
Well, the Last of Us were that was HBO Max.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, even like Fallout was extremely close.
Fallout was Fallout was very loyal to its source material.
Yeah.
And it followed it almost closely to a T.
Yes.
If anything, kind of like a sequel to the game.
No, that's actually canon to the game itself.
Yeah, it's canon, yeah.
Yeah, the creators actually is fully canon to the games, and including to the next game, they're going to reference parts of the show.
Nice. Okay.
So, but honestly, for what's it called, like it says, the secret level, which do have like a bunch of other games that are supposedly supposed to be accurate as well, I mean, comic book accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So that show's there, and by doing Mass Effect... The only issue I have with Mass Effect, it is a choose-your-own-adventure type of game where you choose your own character, who they talk to, how they, you know, what's it called, relationships and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's multiple different endings that can occur. So it's about choosing.
Unless they have that one controversial ending.
Are you talking about from 3?
Yeah.
Where it's just which color beam of light you get?
Yes.
No, the whole point is like Mass Effect is just a space adventure. You go out, you're a soldier, you found out there's a race that wants to wipe you out, and then you fight them, and you know, it's shit happens every single game. So it's very easy for them to follow along and keep close to any one of these games, or if they want to, hey, we're just gonna follow exactly the first game, we can follow that closely. So I have faith onto that. The problem is when they're gonna be moving forward into bigger productions like this. Mm-hmm. And how many productions at a time can the studio handle? Because while they're working on this one, are they going to be working also on Fallout Season 2? You see what I'm saying?
Or are they going to diverge like funds to one project at a time?
Exactly.
So therefore it's going to space out.
So when you're handling multiple big productions like this, are you going to start having some wear and tear on the later seasons because they're trying to cut costs?
Well, fuck Amazon. If you're getting a fat fucking tax break, I better see some goddamn shows.
Right. Well, they just announced that they added Macaulay Culkin to season 2 of
Fallout.
Okay.
I saw that.
Yeah, so they're already working on Fallout 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think season 2. He's going to be the, what's his name? House? Or who's the...
I think so, House. I think his name is House.
Yeah.
House in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
House always wins.
And it's also a funny thing, too, because I always look at this as like Amazon had like saved MGM by converting it into Amazon MGM Studios. Like they're slowly making them on the comeback.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Seemingly with this, you know, with them merging with Amazon and having the Amazon MGM Studios and focusing a lot on these video game adaptations, I feel like Amazon is finding their niche.
Yeah. Especially since now this whole new era of films being made where it used to be where if you made a video game movie, it was just
the
bat horrible.
Yeah.
You can thank Uwe Boll for that one. But, I mean, even going back to like, obviously started with Mario, but then going to like Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter.
They all haven't been great. They've never been great.
None of these movies actually been, they're nostalgic greats, but they're not actually film good movies.
They're just more costume dress up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then now you have more recent ones, like says you got Fallout, Last of Us, the Super Mario Brothers movies.
Mortal Kombat again with Warner
Brothers. Mortal Kombat again. Then you got the new ones coming out, the Donkey Kong. I know they announced a couple other ones, like what's called Legend of Zelda.
They're actually making money. They're actually blockbuster successes now.
Yeah. Now it's a viable market that turns out if you put a good writer, you get something good.
Exactly. Who would have thought?
Someone that knows the source material.
Yeah. And I think with the secret level, I think that puts a little bit less pressure on trying to find somebody as close to what the character resembles. And just focuses like, you know what? Just
animation and story.
And,
that's it, yeah.
Yeah, and hiring on the creators of Love, Death, Robots was the smartest move.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
See, that's a good... There should be a good mix between what's animated and what's live action.
Yes. No, yeah, because unfortunately now, like, going back to Borderlands, was they decided to do a live action film,
that
which should probably have been animated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or at least on, what's it called, mocap. Then maybe...
See, I'm still a little excited and worried about the live-action Ghost of Tsushima.
That one I can see live action.
No, it's going to be live action. They're going to do a live action one. But it's like, you see, like, you still have reserves for that.
My issue is that, so I have no problem with, like, the actual on-ground fighting. Like, the duels and sword and shit. I got no problem with that. I'd be like, okay, you know, if anything, you know, Japanese choreographers when it comes to fighting.
Swordplay and stuff like that. Things
like that are, you know, they stay true to it. You know, they go fucking balls to the wall. My issue is that because he's also supposed to be, like, into this world of learning to be an assassin.
I don't think they're going to cover that part about it. Yeah.
But I can see, like, they're going to do some, like, leap-off jumps. And it's going to be one of those zipline safety leap-off jumps. And I'm afraid it's going to look too much like the Assassin's Creed movie.
Yeah, see, like, keep the samurai sword play. Don't focus on the ninja, rogue, stealth assassin aspects.
Well, I mean, you still have, like, those kind of go a little bit hand in hand.
You can actually bury that entire part out of the story. And you can still have a congruent straight story just focusing on the samurai sword play.
But I think, I feel like cutting that entirely out kind of cuts out half the story of his overall character changing. Because remember, his whole entire character is honor facing your enemy.
Yeah.
Dishonor,
but
killing.
I think they're going to figure out different ways to change the character motives without relying on, oh, well, we need stealth to rely on that aspect. Or there might be a scene where, you know, he might kill someone really quick for like a stealth thing, but it won't be an actual mechanic in the story to rely upon.
Yeah, because you got to remember that you cannot be 100% accurate to the game itself. It's just not feasible at all.
No, but
I understand.
You have to have focus. You need to have focus.
I mean,
it's coming down like back to like an anime, you know, being made live action. There's some parts that have to be taken out just to keep moving the story along. There's no reason to have all that filler.
But again, it's not just the stealth missions that is just like the stealth kills, but it's the overall changing of his character from honorable fighter facing your foe head on, dying in the process and dying with honor, to stabbing your opponent in the back because it's exposed stealth-wise, and even building up the ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
Which is like this unseen enemy.
You can tap into it, but it's not going to be heavily focused on. You see what I'm saying?
I wouldn't say heavily focused, but there's going to be a decent amount. Because there's got to be some sort of level to
I think
be
they're
going
to cut down on what you think is going to be a decent amount. I see like 5 scenes.
That's a decent amount.
Dude, I see maybe like...
out of a whole season?
Is it a show or is it a movie?
Show.
No, I think it's a good amount.
You see, it's like 5 scenes out of a show. That's little.
No, I think there's going to be more than that.
I think they'll cover it slightly, just a little bit, but then they'll just kind of move the story forward.
Because I know for a fact what they're really heavily going to rely on is anything old-fashioned old films. And that's always the classic like Yojimba, Seven Samurai. You see what I'm saying? They're going to focus more on how we're going to replicate that cinematography and swordplay.
Yeah.
Because we can get those audience members. We can get really actual real life sword fighting choreography so we can kind of advertise that in our advertisements. And of course, we can still get what we need to get for the game, like the fans of the game.
Yeah.
So you got to see, they're going to try to hit every single audience.
So, yeah, I could see that.
And
I could see.
Unfortunately, their focus is going to change onto other things.
I could see them focusing on the duels and aspects and
those
like great cinematography.
It needs to feel like a Kurosawa film. It needs to feel like a Kurosawa film.
But I still think there's going to be. And I think those shots, especially, are going to be very few and in between.
Yeah, that's what's going to suck. Those are going to be few.
And I kind of appreciate that because doing too much,
it's
going to feel like the game. And then it's going to be like, all right, cool. I'm just in another duel. Like, oh, that's a cool shot. Whatever. Let's get to the fight.
Like, you need to have that standoff stare, black bars going to, you know.
Maybe not like that.
Yeah, slowly coming.
That's too old. that's too campy.
But you need to have the one swing standoff.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charge, swing. Someone falls. You're like, you need to have that in there.
I mean, I got no reserves.
Yeah.
Or worries about that.
But I don't know. Like, how do you guys feel about Amazon just in general moving forward into these video game adaptations. You know, like I said, we got Fallout, we're gonna get Mass Effect, we got Sony, you know, anthology coming out. Like, do you think we should give more of this? Do you think other studios should be moving into this, or do you think this is just now Amazon's territory?
No, they should go definitely start looking to other IPs, other older video games. Because there's good stories out there.
Oh, a lot.
There's so many, and we're not talking about just recent as for like PS4, PS5. Oh,
no, you can go back into Super Nintendo and you find those classics.
Because what a lot of probably the younger kids don't realize is you used to get booklets with the older games, which told you an entire story.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
So you could easily go back and do like Splatterhouse or do, you know, any pretty much Sega game and just go through the booklet itself and make a story out of it.
Yeah.
A Sewer Shark or something like that.
One of those, man. Shivers, man. I know you want a Shivers.
Oh, dude, I'm working on that one.
But I don't know. How do you feel about this, Mike? Do you think this is going to be a good choice for Amazon to keep forward, or do you think this is now a time for anyone to hop onto a video game adaptation?
I mean, I'm at the age and point to where it's like, if I'm paying money for Prime, it better be a great fucking show. You know? Yeah. I expect that. You expect it now. I don't give any more leeways to like.
But like most people don't think Prime great shows.
No, they don't.
Yeah,
maybe some series.
Most people think Prime. Ew, their interface.
Yeah,
their interface is getting better. I'll tell you that they're getting there. They're working on it. They're getting there.
But I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say every studio should hop on this bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
I say that every studio, if they have interest in it, then they need to find either a game that has been existing for a long, long time and not just one that just existed the last like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if they plan to do it, then money to be shelled out for the proper writers and for the proper source material and studied source material. Like, we're too far in now for everything being so expensive with movies. We're too far in to be like, oh, you know, that could be interesting. Like, no, you better swing for the fucking fence. Like, you better swing for it and it better connect. Everything better be where it should be. There better be proper story. There better be great homages to cool little Easter eggs that fans are
canceling my subscription.
Or I'm canceling my subscription.
Yeah.
You know? Fuck it. I'm close to it. I'm going to go back to the days of buying DVDs and box sets. Fuck it. So don't fuck it up.
Honestly, you better start doing that now. This is going to be obsolete soon.
I know, for real.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, yeah, I'm at the age where it's like, if you're going to do it, but you better do it right. Because movie theater's too damn expensive for me to pay $50 for two people just for tickets. And then pay an additional $30 for fucking snacks and then have a movie that sucks. I did that with Venom 3. All right.
You should have known, though. Like, did he even like any of the other Venoms?
Yeah, I enjoyed. I enjoyed the first one. I was like, all right, cool. Venom 2 was like, all right, whatever. When I was like, you know, I'm so far deep in it, I got to finish it. You know, I could have stopped at 1.
Yeah, my first instinct of hearing you watch Venom was like, oh, it's shit. Like, I would expect that from you.
Yes, it was. It was terrible. It was that's a whole other podcast. We're not going to do that. Yeah. But yeah, like, so, I mean, if you're going to do it, then you got to do it right.
Yeah, so, no, I agree with that.
Like, I'm already paying close to $100 to go to the theater. You better do it right, or there should be a new system where I get to sue the actual director and be like, I want my money back.
I know.
I want my $70 back.
Get some South Park Mel Gibson episode.
That's exactly it. I want my money back.
Yep. All right, well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How you feel about Amazon moving forward into the video game industry for films? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's bad? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on a Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for our listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who like to watch our videos. For our audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast YouTube channel. And before I fully close out, Mike has those last end notes for you guys.
Yes, as Anthony has mentioned, being able to follow these episodes as they kind of come out, or at least the live versions of these ones. Audio versions of these episodes come out every Tuesday, videos every Friday. So if you even want to watch these video versions, head on over to YouTube and look up youtube.com/theredbandpodcast. Look for the screaming microphone and you should be able to find us. And of course, all the different ways you could be able to listen to us. Got my words all mixed. You could be able to listen to us on pretty much any podcast kind of streaming app that you're currently on. But our main ones that we do have are Spotify, Apple Music, Samsung Podcast, and iHeartRadio. So please head on over there, subscribe, so that you can keep up to date with the episodes that we send out. You know, leave a like, share a comment, you know, leave that 5-star review. We really appreciate it. And of course, our Patreon account that we still have up and running. So more subscribers equals more content that we can make for you guys. So we would really appreciate it. We want to make some cool stuff for you. We have ideas for some channels. You know, we want to be able to expand on those. So please, please help us out. Please subscribe. Subscribe, please. If you don't, it's okay. I'm just gonna fucking kill my cat, dude. I'm gonna fucking do it. I swear to God. I can't afford him, bro. It's like one of those parents, you know? That's dark.
That's real dark. That's real dark.
I won't kill my cats. Please, head on over there and subscribe. And of course, we also have our social area. We're usually on Instagram and TikTok, so head on over there. And yeah. That's all I got.
All right. You heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.